Sports fans, find your beach for the game with an ice cold Corona. Don't have any in the fridge? No problem. Stock up for game day and order on Drizzly and save $5 with code Corona courtesy of Drizzly. Relax responsibly. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Drizzly terms and conditions apply.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap and an end around to Godwin. Godwin running to the third. He's got the first down across the 40. Bucs are going to win this football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a reverse play. Who would have guessed? Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians dial up the right play. Godwin, our leading receiver, he rops for the first down. And the Buccaneers have a fresh set with 27 seconds left. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the first team ever to host a Super Bowl. The Bucs have punched their ticket to Super Bowl 55.
There's 2 seconds left. They need to take one snap, and they're heading to the Super Bowl.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two ticks away. Tom Brady, you're the real deal. Victory formation. Three consecutive post-game wins on the road for Tom Brady. The Bucs win! Bucs win! Tampa Bay is heading to the Super Bowl.
You folks didn't think we were done with this game, did you? You didn't think we were done.
No shot.
Do you think we're going to let that go after one day? Are you freaking kidding me? We're running it right back. We're running it right back. Isn't that right, Gene?
That's right. They punched the ticket. We're going to focus on this game 4 hours a day for 5 straight weeks. Bucs win. Bucs win. Tom Brady's the real deal.
We're not letting this one go anytime soon. We got help today because it's a Tuesday, Maz. It's a big boy Tuesday.
Big boy.
Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. What were your impressions of this game? And, Greg, let me just lead you off with a question. Let me steer you in a direction. Did the Buccaneers and Tom Brady win this, or did the Packers blow it? And I know it's both, but, you know, 51-49 or whatever. Did the Packers blow it or the Bucs win it?
It's an impossible question, but I'm going to try to answer it for you. Yeah, no, it is, because I thought the Bucs played really well. I thought that they were the better team. I thought they were the better coach team, so they deserved to win the game. But at the end of the day, do I think the Packers should have won this game if they played better and the coach made different decisions? Probably, but it's really close. It was going to be close. I mean, I just think if the Bucs played their A game in this game, including Mr. Brady, for the entire game, it would have been a carbon copy of the first game, the 38-10 game. I mean, I thought that was an aberration. It wasn't. It showed you, even though some funky things happened in that first game, the Bucs are just a lot better. And I think people need to wake up. I certainly needed to wake up. I don't watch the NFC that much. I don't know much about the Bucs, even with Brady there. I don't really watch a lot of the defensive snaps. That's a damn good football team right now. And so I thought the better team won. They deserve to win.
And you believe that the Buccaneers' coaching and defense was every bit as responsible, if not more responsible, than Tom Brady?
Yeah, if I had to say, I would say Rodgers and Brady were basically a draw given Brady's first half. He was terrible in the second half and almost choked it away. It looked a lot like the Chiefs' regular season game where he's throwing unexplained interceptions. There's no way he should have won a game, this type of game, with 3 interceptions. He shouldn't have. But the only reason he did is because the Bucs' defense was just that good. They were that good in this game and way better than the Packers' defense. So I thought everywhere else it was a draw. I thought the Bucs' coaching staff certainly won the matchup with their decision around the first half and then what LaFleur tried to do at the end of the game. But there's, to me, if you looked at all phases of this game, the Bucs defense clearly outplayed their matchup, clearly.
And so you think, once again, Brady's getting more credit than he deserves?
No, you guys can get into that. Look, what Tom's accomplished this season is unbelievable. It really is. I didn't think it was possible. Of course, I'm a moron, and I misjudged what they had in Tampa. I severely misjudged it because I just don't watch the Bucs that much, and I don't care. But you cannot help but look at that team, the where they're playing right now. And if you're TB 12 and on, you think that it's all because of Brady, that he goes around whispering pixie dust.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. No, I like thought that. Of that yeah. this weekend.
No, that was good. That's clever for you.
Yeah, Gasper. See, I've thought about this. So Murray is not a TB 12 and on. He's a Brady fan, and that's fine. Like, I would have been the same way if Marino left Miami and went elsewhere. I would have gone scorched earth against the Dolphins and rooted for Marino in Tampa or Minnesota, wherever he was rumored to go. It's the TB 12 and ons who, like Gasper, who feel the need to. They can't just rest on Brady's been amazing this season. He's done an amazing job. The Bucs would not be here without him. Now, we can get into an argument, would he be here with other quarterbacks? Would they be here with other quarterbacks? Is he the only one that would have done that? I just don't believe that. I'm also a teamist. I believe it's team over everything. And I think that the sum of the Bucs parts have been really good. And I think Brady has done an amazing job this year. I did not think he could go in a year of COVID to a new place with new teammates, new coaches, a new offense, and they could get that all to work based upon what I knew about the Bucs the year before. I underestimated what the Bucs were the year before, and I also underestimated how good Brady could be this year.
Mass
but that's
Murray,
it. I'm not going to go any further than that.
So look, here's what I would say.
Does anyone care to enjoin the big boy?
Yes, yes. So the idea that would Brady have been the only quarterback to take Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl? My answer would be no, because Patrick Mahomes could do it. Okay, so would he? But would Aaron Rodgers have done it? No.
That's the big. That I think is the debate. And I don't look. I don't have an answer.
I do. Greg, listen. In all seriousness, there's an intangible to some of these guys that. That exists whether people want to admit it or not. And what Brady did is he brought credibility to that organization and leadership and a mindset that very few guys could bring. And Mahomes has it. There's no two ways about it. But really, when you look across the rest of the league, who else? I mean, I don't think Rodgers has it. Josh Allen clearly doesn't have it yet, and I know we'll get to more of that later.
Wilson.
Roethlisberger's. Okay, so Russell Wilson, maybe. I'll give you Russell Wilson. That's a good one.
I think Rodgers is in the discussion, and it sort of gets into what he has there, his exit, the reason for them losing. Like, and trust me, I've covered both guys, Rodgers and Brady. I've seen them up close. I rewrote a column this weekend saying that it will always be Brady for me. But that doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers couldn't go to Tampa this offseason and not replicate what Brady's doing. I think that he could, and I'm hoping that we get a chance to see that this offseason.
So, Greg, again, it doesn't mean Rodgers is a bum. And, Mike, I know you want to jump in. It doesn't mean Rodgers is a bum. I just think Brady and Mahomes are on a different planet than everybody else in the league.
Maybe.
Yeah, and with Brady, I'm with Maz about this, that the leadership, the professionalism, and the pedigree, like that, that has changed that team. I think it has helped change that program.
I will never ever agree to that ever. I don't care what they. I don't care if they win the Super Bowl. I'm not gonna. I don't care what quotes Gasper can trot out. What stats you have? I will never believe that because, look, has he put them over the top? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Do I think other guys could have also? Maybe. Yeah, but I am not going to sit here and say Tom Brady is the only reason the Bucs are where they are because I think it disparages the 53 guys on the roster, the 12 guys on the coaching staff, the 12 guys in the personnel staff to put this together. I'm sorry, it's just the football person in me. I'm never going to agree. This is not the NBA. I'm sorry, it's not. It's never going to be that way. I don't care what you say. I'm never, ever going to agree to it.
Most of those folks, 90% of them went 7-9 last year, so... Anyway,
yeah, again, with your roster.
Oh, my God.
Can't see that.
The big boy's so wound up. We got, we already got that.
Yeah, he's working
that blues. Well, it's tremendous. Well, at least Gasper is a target today. That's fine. I'll take that.
11 and a half years on the air, I've never sweared.
Well, there's, oh, right. Wow. So, there's just a tone-setting component.
Is that a swear?
That position, what you said was a swear, Greg. Yes, that's a swear. I'm sorry. That's
right,
a swear.
Crappy roster.
You can't say that word, for crying out loud. Okay. So we can agree to disagree. 617-779-0985. Love you to join in, but you don't need to use the potty mouth that Greg just displayed. You mentioned it just there. I want your take on this too, Greg. You think there might be some, it's not your microphone, big boy. You actually said a swear word.
No, Greg fiddles
with his microphone. You also said, and just alluded to it there, that you believe Aaron Rodgers angling his way out of Green Bay has some validity to it, and you think it ties into this conversation.
Yeah, I do. I think that Aaron, after this game, more than anything, realized, like, what more can I do? And there's a lot of people around the league who feel that way. There's a lot of people who look at the failures that he's had in Green Bay. And look, I've certainly been critical of Aaron at times, but like he played well enough to win on Sunday.
He outplayed Brady
over the course of the game.
No, he didn't.
And pardon?
He didn't.
Okay.
Anyways, he didn't. He didn't. He wasn't nearly as timely as Brady was. Not nearly. But keep going.
Yes, but yeah, but then it gets into the whole discussion, Mike, about who are his wide receivers, who's getting open, who's his coach, what are they doing, how often is his defense getting him the ball? Then you get into that stuff. It's not singular. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Like, how many years have we talked about football as the ultimate team sport? Suddenly, Tom Brady does something, and it's all because of Tom Brady.
Greg,
like, what are we doing here?
Guys were open, running lanes were open, and he didn't make the plays.
He was under pressure all game, Mike. Did you see his tackles not block anybody? Did you see that Tom Brady was under pressure five times? Five in the entire game. You know how many times Rodgers was under pressure? Like 20. And he got sacked five times.
That happens.
He couldn't get the ball to people because his tackles could not block anybody. And Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett were in his lap the entire game.
He couldn't get the ball to people because once again in a big game he choked. He's done it his whole career, Greg. He's done it his whole career.
Yeah, and Brady was stellar in the second half when he could have put it away, including he needed a penalty flag thrown 10 minutes late on the final play when the pass wasn't even close to the receiver.
Okay, I thought his mistakes were overrated and didn't put his team in a bad spot. But
I know you did. Last week, Tom Brady was the greatest manager ever. He didn't turn the ball over. That's why they won. This week, it's three interceptions. That's why they won. Oh, his interceptions didn't hurt.
They didn't.
Just keep moving the goalposts, Mike. Keep moving them.
The interceptions didn't really hurt. You think Aaron Rodgers could leave? Just answer that before we go to break.
Yes.
Why?
Because I think he's sick and tired of playing this well and not having the supporting cast, the team drafting Jordan Love, and the coaches. Like, he thought maybe going into this game, maybe this year, a second year of LaFleur, it's going to be different than McCarthy. No, not. He's a moron. He made stupid decisions in this game to lose in this game. I think Aaron's out of patience.
Okay, what do you folks think? Both the fallout from the game, Greg's opinion thereof, his potty mouth, if you care to weigh in on that, and the Aaron Rodgers quarterback movement across the NFL this year, it looks like, feels like it could be prodigious. 617-779-0985, to you right after this. Anyway, again...
Yeah, with a roster.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady stands tall, throws a pass to the far sideline. It is intercepted. It's picked off. Picked off by Green Bay's Adrian Amos. And that time, the Buccaneers go deep one time too many. Brady is picked off. First turnover by the Bucs of this game.
He didn't throw it far enough outside. He let him inside a little bit, right into where the safety was.
Brady looks it over. He takes the snap. Brady waiting, still looking. Now he throws over the middle off the hands of Evans. Intercepted. Jair Alexander across the 10, cutting to his right. He's to the 15, breaks a tackle. Hold on to the football, young fella. And he does. Down he goes. Short of the 20 to the 19-yard line. The pass off the hands of the all-pro Mike Evans. Second turnover of the day for Tampa Bay. And the Packers dodge a bullet and have a chance to take the lead. Brady under center, and he takes straight back to the under the blitz. He pop flies the right side, and it is intercepted again by Jair Alexander. A pop fly because Brady was hit on the pass rush.
So there are the three Brady interceptions just for the big boy. Just for the big boy. I think, Greg, that the third one that you heard there last was on third and two, and it was a runaway rusher from the corner. Play wasn't there. It was going to be a punt on the next snap anyway. That was a glorified punt. Didn't hurt him. I think the second one was on Mike Evans, off his hands. Certainly a little high, but Evans can't pop it up there in center field. And I think the first interception was damaging. The Packers scored a touchdown off of it. It was the first turnover, sort of really got momentum going for Green Bay. So that first one, when I say none of them hurt the Buccaneers, that's not true. The first one hurt the Buccaneers. But the second two, they look bad on the stat sheet, but I don't think that in terms of game flow, they were either on Brady or really damaging. That's just my opinion. I know most of you guys disagree. You want to weigh in before I go to the phones?
I'll just say, on the Evans one, I thought it was a bad pass. I thought it was too high and thrown with too much velocity in between two different levels of the defense. But really, he just missed that play. Scotty Miller was open, wide open on a post before that, and Brady just missed it. Like, Brady just played a little choky in the second half. And we've seen that out of him at times this year, including that KC game where they had a chance to go down to either tie or win the game. I forget what it was. And he just, I think it was the second play of the drive, he just inexplicably threw a terrible interception. We've seen that out of him this year. We haven't seen a lot of that before, and this is a game where Brady was really unbothered. I mean, if you told me before the game that the Packers would pressure Brady only five times in the game, I would say there's no chance that the Packers are going to win that game. Zero.
Okay, your thoughts to you, Jimmy and Medway. Lead us off today. Jimmy, hi.
Yeah, this one's for Blackbeard the Pirate back there. Murray, I'm 28 years old. I've been a Pats fan my entire life, and I'm allowed to appreciate what Brady has done and will continue to do, and what Bill has done and will continue to do. You trying to polarize Patriots Nation is symbolic of the quote-unquote stupidest time to be alive, pick a side, begging for likes, social media culture that you all bitch and complain about on a daily basis.
So whose side are you on for this year? Whose side are you on for 2020?
But know that when you're sailing away on your phony pirate ship, you're a hypocrite and you're part of the problem.
Whose side are you on for 2020? Hello. Oh, no life raft. Then drown. Then you're rooting for the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. Okay, so you've picked your side.
Murray, you and your phony pirate.
Look, I'm with that guy when it comes to politics and society. I'm with him 100% on that. Sports is sort of a different deal where it's really much more enjoyable to me when I have a side. I'm really not just sitting there to watch to go, look at the artistry of this. I generally have a side, but that's sports. That's why it's fake or it's...
Right, it's fun. There's
a diversion. I would not equate the two. I'm sorry, Murray. Go ahead.
No, that's all. I don't know why. that guy was legitimately hot and bothered about it. Right, so fine.
Yeah, you're the dumbest person in the dumbest time to be.
Murray, I'm actually, like I said before, Murray, I'm actually unbothered by you. Go nuts. Because like I said, there was a time when Marino... Because I'm still mad that the Dolphins never got Marino a Super Bowl because it's always thrown in his face. Well, he never won a Super Bowl. And when it was mentioned, I remember the newspapers having Vikings jerseys on him and Buccaneers jerseys on him in the paper as he flirted with going someplace else. And I was like, go, Dan, go. Because I just wanted him to win. And I would have been full Marino honk like you are in the same circumstance. I get that. And so you're a Brady fan more than a Patriots fan. I don't begrudge you of this. It's the TB12 anons that I just can't deal with.
Josh is in Webster. He's up next with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? I think one comment you guys might have either missed or something interesting I noticed Matt LaFleur said after the game is we're always going to be process-driven. So I want to know if you guys thought he was a real coach or if he's just sitting on the sidelines pushing buttons, hearing what's up top. Is he actually making decisions or just looking at the sheet?
Yeah, that second thing. I don't think he's a real coach. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of these guys, and, you know, he's a good offensive schemer, and he's got a really nice scheme. So, like, I think he and his other young nerds go in a dark room and spend 18 hours a day going over film and patterns and route trees and sequences, and he can come out of that room with something good. And that's what he does. I think there's, frankly, a lot of guys like that. But it was sort of obvious in this one, Greg. He has no feel for the game, all the game management, offense, defense, special teams. Their special teams were so bad in this game. I mean, that the stuff about kicking off short to let Mickens run it back to the 35, every kickoff, it was just, what was the coach paying attention? You know, and I just think he's just another one of these glorified coordinators who's the head coach that doesn't pay attention to the game. He just pays attention to his play sheet.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. And I was just looking through their coaching staff because obviously I'm not familiar with this one. And I was just seeing if there was a sort of like a if I was an offensive type coach like LaFleur and a lot of these guys are, I would my first hire would be some sort of assistant head coach who was a veteran, and that's all he did was worry about big picture, just in case I got lost in the offense and things like that, and some sort of Ernie Adams, but along those same lines. And I don't think he has that. And you're absolutely right. The kickoff after the field goal just shows you how little planning he has going on in his head. Like, that ball goes out of the end zone. It has to.
No time goes off the clock, and correct. You get your fourth timeout that you talked about. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Unbelievable. But,
I mean, half of me wonders. I thought Penton was in the booth. Okay, I saw him in the second half on the sideline, and I don't know. I meant to look this up, but it wouldn't surprise me if in that last play before the half that Penton was in the elevator coming down from the booth. Because you know this, Greg. The coaches, they hold the elevator in those last seconds before the half, and the coaches run down the hallway and get on the elevator, and sometimes they jump it by a play or two to get down there to the locker room. Where was Penton during that final sequence? LaFleur was obviously not paying attention. To come out with a robber safety, to come out with basically six men in the box defensively on that Miller touchdown, that play before the half, Greg, is anyone paying attention? And the answer is obviously no. No one's running the ship. And that's just – the Packers aren't the only team. I get to – you know, some of the great coaches in the league, Andy Reid. Andy Reid sits down when the defense is on the field a lot. He sits down. He can't even see the field. There's people standing up, and he's sitting down. And that's one of the best coaches in the league. Well, what if there's a timeout? What if there's a clock thing? What if there's a replay decision? Who's steering the ship? Where's the pilot? You know, it's like, but that's the way it is. And I think it's a real problem in the game. I really do. Stephen Fort Lauderdale, what
sequence,
do you got?
That sequence at the end of the half was a fireable offense. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, so you fired the defensive coordinator. Where's the head coach? Stephen Fort Lauderdale, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? I have two quick points. First, Rodgers, 3rd and 9, could have run for the end zone and picked up 4 or 5, and I'm sure they would have gone for it then. So I think part of that was his fault. The other thing is an observation on leadership. Aaron Rodgers is quoted as saying, you know, I want to be the MVP this year. It's very important to me. And on the flip side, Brady was quoted as telling one of his younger players who didn't make the Pro Bowl, hey, it's not about making the Pro Bowl. It's about going for the gold. So leadership is an innate quality.
Okay, Greg, do you agree or disagree with that?
Largely. I mean, I just think that, and I've written this in the past, we've talked about it. I just think Aaron Rodgers is an inherently selfish person. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but he thinks of himself first.
Yes, it is a bad thing, but keep going.
But Brady thinks of the team first, and I've criticized Brady. I've criticized Rodgers for years. I think even going back to when I covered him in Green Bay about these things, because I would be in press conferences with him, and he knew his stats like the back of his hand. And I always used to think to myself, Tom Brady has no idea what his stats are right now, this close after a game, or at least he's certainly not going to say anything about it in a press conference. And look, Maz, I understand what you're going to say and why that's the difference. But look, it's a different era. I prefer my quarterbacks like Brady, trust me, That's what I want, and that's what I would look for. It's a different era. Different guys win different ways. I do think Rodgers has won one Super Bowl. I think largely McCarthy and his roster over the years since then has been the problem, and I think he's been let down by what's around him more than himself. But he certainly leaves himself open to criticism in that realm.
Yeah, I just think, look, you mentioned Marino earlier. I think all these guys who don't win enough all have the same problem. Whether it's Favre or Rodgers or Marino, the thing's about them. It's about them. They all make the same mistake. And look, even Brady at the end here, it happened a little bit. And I would say that those gap years in the middle, and Mike, we've talked about this a million times, but when the Patriots didn't win in the middle, I used to use the term QB-centric. Now, it wasn't necessarily because of Brady's ego all the time, but they built the team totally for Brady to carry it, and they couldn't win in other ways. And I think that that becomes a problem, and ultimately you lose because of it.
Okay, let's do three up, three down from the title games right after Big Jim Murray's update.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5. Sports Up.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
That's from title game weekend with Bedard and Mez. Let's just go do it. Who's your number one star, Greg?
Patrick Mahomes. He's sensational. I assume he was under painkillers for the turf toe, but he looked no worse for the wear, and he's a magician.
Okay, hold on. I just want to cut you off because there's a 10 question that relates to him that I don't want you to step on. So I'm going to just... Pat Mahomes is your number one star. Murray, I'm sorry, Maz, who do you got?
Travis Kelce, 13 catches. The guy was a force, unstoppable in that game. Two touchdowns, 15 targets. He was the best player over the weekend.
Number two, Greg.
Tom Brady in the first half. He was tremendous. If you want to talk about intangibles and bringing something to the Bucs, his third down conversions early in that game, probably most likely gave the rest of the team a whole lot of confidence, settled down if there were any issues. And his conversions on third down were in that first half were just surgical. And while I think some of that was due to Mike Pettine's terrible game plan in this, Brady was just money in the first half.
I went with the Tampa Bay defensive line. If you make me pick one guy in particular, I'll take Jason Pierre-Paul. But they were all a factor. Pierre-Paul was back there constantly. So was Shaq Barrett. And Ndamukong Suh deflected, got his hand on a pass anyway that prevented a two-point conversion. I thought they were dynamite.
Third star.
The Bucs tackles, Tristan Wirfs and Donovan Smith, they erased, unlike the Packers' counterparts, they erased the Smith brothers from the game. I didn't even know they played this game. And those two guys are damn good. And that was the whole key to that game. Keeping them off of Brady, giving Brady so much time, only five pressures allowed, that enabled the Bucs to win that game.
I'll tell you, Mike, I haven't seen as much of him as you have. That Za'Darius Smith's a good player, though. He's a good player. That aside, I picked the Kansas City secondary. I thought the Chiefs secondary blew my mind in that game. I didn't think Kansas City could play that kind of defense. I thought Buffalo had the better defense going in, and I was wrong.
Three duds. Greg, number one.
Aaron Jones. I think it's pretty self-evident. I mean, just, hang on to the ball, dude, once in a while.
Kevin King.
That's an easy one.
Wow. Wow. Talk about getting smoked. Holy crap. Wow. He was the worst guy over the weekend, I thought.
Number two, Greg.
Kevin King. He was just horrendous. I mean, first of all, in the Mike Evans touchdown, jump earlier. I mean, it was 10 minutes early he jumped. He was on the ground when Evans was jumping up for the ball. It's just embarrassing. And then the play before halftime, the penalty at the end, which I did not think should have been called. Just
well, hold on one second. Let me stop you on that one, too. We'll get to that next hour.
Okay. But I thought King was just a disaster.
Oh, he was a mess.
He was awful.
And I'll tell you, Mike, on that jump ball, I looked it up because I thought, this guy's, 5'11"? He's 6'3". He's 6'3". It blew me away. Yes, he's 6'3". I looked it up yesterday. I went, holy crap. God. Is it possible that he got shorter on that play? Like, my third guy I went with was Devontae Adams. I'm sorry. I put that drop on him in the end zone. What you cannot, if you were going to catch 18 touchdowns over the course of the year and at crunch time drop a touchdown pass, sorry, that's a big mistake.
Okay, so Greg, Josh Allen did not land in your bottom three. Give me a grade for Josh Allen this weekend.
I have not gotten to my third yet.
Oh, did I miss it? Did I jump?
Oh, you know what? I jumped it. I went to Adams. I skipped my second one. So go ahead, Greg. I'll flip flop him.
Go.
Josh Allen. He was terrible in that game. He was with the moment was way too big. He crapped himself from the first drive to the end of the game. Yeah, he had some good plays. Basically, that was 2019 Josh Allen that we saw on Sunday night. He was awful in that game.
Yeah, okay, it was my mistake. I had the Buffalo coaching staff second. I thought their defensive game plan was wretched, wretched.
Okay, so I think Kansas City is just that much better than everybody. And frankly, I think there's only one team that has a chance to beat them in this whole league, and that's Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, just the way he's going there, momentum. I think the Packers would have gotten smoked. Frankly, maybe that's the only saving grace. I don't think they could keep up with Patrick Mahomes. And not that Brady can either, but I just – there's unlike Greg, I believe in that sort of tone setting, the rub-off factor, the belief factor that Brady brings to that team, and I think they have it. But – are you taking some sort of like victory lap on Josh Allen because he lost the second to last game of the year?
No, he just had a really rough game. I mean, I just wish for his sake, I wish he would have lost in a different manner. I mean, he went down in flames. He was a disaster the whole game. First drive, he throws a near pick, takes a 15-yard sack on the next one, gets gifted a TD, complains about penalties ad nauseum, a 16-yard intentional grounding, another near pick, sails a pass on third down, hangs on to the ball, averts another sack, almost goes out of bounds, throws 2 yards short on third and goal into triple coverage, and that's just the first half. Like, he had a rough game. I'm not going to overreact to it, just like I didn't overreact to his season. We'll see next year whether what he does this year is sustainable or, you know, did he crap his pants because suddenly he played in front of a lot more people for the first time this year? We'll see.
I think I hear some satisfaction in your voice.
Yeah, totally. The guy had a good year. He's an elite talent, but he's not ready to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes. I mean, that doesn't mean he sucks, and that doesn't mean he didn't have a great year or that if he makes another jump, if he improves even half as much as he did between year two and three, between three and four, you know, you've got a real guy there. I mean, but he has to make
I don't even think he needs to make a move, Mike. I think that he just needs to sustain where he's at. He needs to replicate it and prove he wasn't a one-year flash in a pan, which we have seen at times from guys. Like I've said before, we have never seen a guy make a jump from his year two to year three or any year like that.
Well,
Hang on. Let me just finish my thought.
Yeah.
Whether he sustains or how good he is actually, I think, more on Buffalo needs to do some things around him. They need to invest in the offensive line. The running game needs to be real. They became way too Allen-centric at the end of the season.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of that was by choice. They need another option. They need a healthy Cole Beasley. I thought that was sneaky big down the stretch. They were not the same offense once he hurt his leg. Stephon, they were a lot easier to defend without Beasley being a real threat. John Brown was non-existent this year. Davis was just okay. They might need to go get one more weapon to really round it out, but they need to go back to the running game and get him under center and doing play action, and that's how you sustain or become even better.
Well, and that, you know, I still think he can make another move. I learned it a little bit with our film session there, Greg. And anyone wants to go watch 27 minutes of needle torture, you can go watch it. But I think there's a whole nother he can hold his water a little bit more than he does. You know, he's so athletic and so brilliant, frankly, at throwing on the run and making those plays that I think he's maybe fallen in love with it a little bit. I think he bails out sooner than he has to and more often than he has to. if he can just slow it down one more step, stay in that pocket one more count, and just become refined like that, I mean, to me, that's his move. That's because is he just going to run around all game like a jackass? I mean, there's a shelf life to that. You got to be able to play within the pocket. All right, so there's that. I promise, right back to your phones after these words.
Felger and Max on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Pigskin fans, the moment you've been waiting for all season is right around the corner. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SPORTSHUB to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize of up to $25,000 just for playing. Use promo code SPORTSHUB now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55.
Terms, conditions, and eligibility. For details.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that then.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app.
8 seconds, 7 seconds. Brady to throw, throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open, makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller, and Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucks score with no time left. Beam me up, Scotty. Bruce Arians says, no risk it, no biscuit. And by golly, you got the big biscuit with Scotty Miller in the end zone. What a great throw by Brady, and the Bucs lead 20-10.
Is that Kevin King that was in coverage? I couldn't tell exactly who it was, but you know, you cannot allow Scotty Miller, with 8 seconds on the clock, you cannot give up the big play. I mean, just cannot allow anybody behind you. Brady was just going to take a shot. I mean, he was going to, one-on-one, was going to take a shot, and that is hard to believe. I mean, right out here, one-on-one, a middle safety, one-on-one. Kevin King is trying to bail. He's trying to stay on top of it. But I don't know if he just underestimated the speed of Scotty Miller. But to give that up, I mean, that just should not happen. And that, especially when you're talking about an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's really not on the player. I mean, the player sucks. Of course, the player sucks. It's on the coaches. Put them in the right position. Put them in the proper position to succeed. Then you judge the player. Is the player put in the right position? Are the players put in the right spot? And they're not. Single high safety. It's a robber safety. They put six guys. There's six guys bunched up at the line of scrimmage. 8 seconds left. No timeouts at the 39. It's preposterous.
Oh, yeah, with that blazer, Tom Brady playing quarterback. You got to worry about him on the quarterback draw.
And Fournette at running back, who, again, like, nice game, but what, he's going to break one from 39? What, I mean, a four-man rush, and then two, go back and watch it. There's all these Packers hanging around the line of scrimmage. It's like, guys, there's 8 seconds left. They don't have a timeout. What do you?
Unbelievable.
Mike, what's even worse about that play is that Green Bay had one more timeout left. They could have gotten on the right page, and they just didn't.
Because where's LaFleur? LaFleur is already thinking about the drive starter in the third quarter on his offense, and he's not a head coach. Anyway, back to your phones. As promised, Mike in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Bedard, during the first segment, you said you underestimated what the Bucs were before Brady got there, and I guess you underestimated Brady, you said, too. I have something on that sentiment. Tom Brady obviously is the GOAT. He's got the intangible, like Matt said, the it factor, as good old Max Kellerman calls it. He's a winner. Tom Brady's literally a god on and off the field. And he's
okay, Mike, I'm going to let you go. Do you believe in the it factor there, Bedard? the call's a joke, but do you believe in the it factor? Do you believe in the it factor?
That was one of the TV12 anons right there, what I tell you. Yeah, a little bit, but you know, to further enhance what I'm talking about in terms of how a lot of us, and not everyone, some people thought that the Bucs were just a very much an underachieving team last year who just needed good quarterback play. But you know, the Bucs were 7-9 last year. Six of their nine losses came by 7 points or less. So that was a team that was close. Certainly Tom Brady helps put them over the top. And again, I'm not sure they would be in the Super Bowl without Tom Brady or another quarterback of his ilk. But to me, it's clear that if the Bucks just got decent quarterback play, i.e. not 30 interceptions, the Bucks would have been a playoff team this year.
But that's different than saying three straight road games to the Super Bowl. I don't think there's another guy on the planet other than Mahomes that does that.
So, and look, winning three games on the road, no matter what's going on, is certainly an accomplishment. I do not view it in a statistical context, you know, as on the same level of what other teams have done. Do you?
No, look, I think, I mean, Brady had a tough road, I'd say, overall, other than the first game. You know, New Orleans and Green Bay on the road, and I recognize it wasn't, you know, your typical season. But, look, the whole thing with the Bucks, it's pretty simple. They needed someone to come in and show them how to win. And I know that's a cliche, and I know it's corny, but it's true. They had players, but they didn't have a real coach. I mean, they're an okay coach, but they needed someone to come in and show them how you do it. How do we win? And he showed them.
Greg doesn't believe it.
Maz, is this the
all that winning Brady has done? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Felger. Go ahead.
No, you go. You're all hot and bothered. Okay. Go.
No, I'm just saying. So are the Bucks the only team that, you know, in like the second or first year with a quarterback or a coach, they're the only team that went from like not being in the playoffs to, you know, being in the Super Bowl? Like, I just don't understand this. Like, I don't understand why you take it out of context. Jimmy Garoppolo took the 49ers from a losing team to the Super Bowl in his first full year as quarterback. What, did Jimmy Garoppolo show them how to win? What about, you know, Dan Quinn went to a Super Bowl in his second year in Atlanta? Who showed them how to win? Sometimes it just happens, Maz, and it doesn't have to be about, you know, some cult of some quarterback. Look, did Brady do some things that really helped them? Yeah, but, like, let's not make it out. Like, seriously, sometimes when I hear you talk, specifically, Maz, I think you're penning some sort of cheesy Disney sports movie where you think of the Bucks, like the opening scene is the Bucks with John McKay talking about, you know, how he'd be in favor of their execution, and Tom Brady all of a sudden shows up with his trunkload of Lombardi trophies, pulls into Tampa to their practice field, which is full of hayseeds, and the Bucks are out there on the practice field running into each other, and Bruce Arians is some goober on the sideline being like, well, Tom, can you show us how to play football? Like, sometimes I just think it's ridiculous how much you put on it. Like, this, like, things like this have never happened before in the history of the NFL. Tom Brady's had a great season. He's put them over the top. They probably wouldn't be here in the Super Bowl without him. But, like, let's not make it out like he's some savior that he showed these guys how to put one foot in front of the other and run routes and things like that. When they were third in points last year, they threw too many interceptions. They were pretty good on defense, but it was tough to tell because the quarterback sucked so much. Like, they got a quarterback in that played better, okay? They scored the same amount of points. The defense was a lot better. Let's also not discount that last year was the first year of Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. Normally, the first year of a coach and a coordinator, they're not all that good. The second year is when they make a leap, which they have done this year. So let's, like, I just give Tom credit for what he has done. I didn't think this was possible. I did not.
You're
but
right.
Let's not go further and say that Tom Brady is the originator of all things Tampa when they have won a Super Bowl before. That's all.
No, you're right. That is how I see it. A bunch of goobers with a clown as a coach.
Seriously.
That's exactly how I see it.
I can't wait for, you know, remember the Toms, the 2020 Bucks story with, you know, Tom Brady, the super savior, and Bruce Arians, the goober coach who didn't know anything until Tom Brady walked into the Bucks facility.
I'll buy that book. I mean, because Arians is a less talented Rex Ryan on the other side of the ball. The only reason he's playing in a couple of weeks or coaching in a couple of weeks is because of Tom Brady. That Bucks roster, Greg, hasn't changed substantially over the last couple of years, and especially from last year to this year, except for one position.
Even Arians has said he lets Brady coach. Like, he said it. And I do. I like the title. Remember the Titans.
We could go through. You want to go through the Packers and the Bucks roster by roster and see who's better? Like, you can't tell me,
Greg.
I mean, their defense, the Bucks defensive line on Sunday was incredible.
Greg.
Once they got Vita Vea back and Ndamukong Suh, the edge guys, the two linebackers, Devin White and Levante Davis, those are Pro Bowl linebackers. Their cornerbacks have played like Pro Bowlers down the stretch here. Their offensive line, the tackles are awesome. Brady has the best weapons in the league. You know, he has, they have Leonard Fournette. They have like four tight ends. Like, just because they went 7-9 last year, I mean, I don't understand. They threw 30 interceptions. Like 7-9 with 30 interceptions. What do you think that is with 15? What do you think? What do you think they would have gone last year with Alex Smith, the quarterback last year?
Yeah, again, and I just think
probably.
Okay, so listen, fine. You want to talk about the regular season record? You can talk about it. I'm telling you that a lot of those guys could have gone 10-6, 11-5, and they would have lost in the playoffs. And there are a lot of teams that if you had added Brady to, they'd also be in the Super Bowl right now, if you ask me. Now, I can't prove that. That's purely an opinion. But if New Orleans had had Brady, I think New Orleans would be in the Super Bowl right now.
Without question.
I think their
Brees
defense
didn't throw.
All right, so their defense is, to me, every bit as good as Tampa Bay's. And if you want to look at some other teams in the conference and say, well, what would have happened if Chicago had gotten Brady? What would have happened if, San Francisco had gotten Brady? And I know San Francisco had other issues this year, but you get the idea. He's a difference maker. He is. It's a fact.
What if those teams just upgraded at quarterback? What if it wasn't Brady? What if it was somebody else?
Then again, I think you're going 10-6, 11-5, and losing in the playoffs. That's what I think happens.
I mean, you might be right.
There's only one of these guys. There's only one Tom Brady. Sorry. He is different. He is special. I'd love to fight it. I did fight Super Bowls
other than Tom Brady. I just don't.
But not like him.
That's what I hear. When you guys not say like stuff like this, I just don't know, understand how anyone ever won Super Bowls before Tom Brady.
Greg,
that's what I hear.
Greg, he's been to
Greg,
10 of them.
There's no one like this guy.
He's been to 10.
No, I know. There is no one like trust me. He's the greatest of all time. I get it. But that's a separate argument to me.
No, it's not. It's not. It's the same thing. And to equate what he did this year with Garoppolo going 1 year or Dan Quinn going 1 year, like, that's kind of ignoring the track record of Tom Brady. I mean, this isn't the first time he just did this. Dan Quinn, we're not going to hear from that guy ever again. You know, Tom Brady's done this for 2 decades. I think that's kind of silly. Guess who thinks Aaron Rodgers could be leaving Green Bay and what that means for the league? Guess who? We'll talk about that right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.